Action Radio. And here are your hosts, Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
And you are listening to Jet Nation Radio. And all right, Jets Nation, you should be pumped out there. You should be excited. You should be ready to talk football tonight with us live on Jet Nation Radio. We have so much to talk about, but guess what? We will talk about the negatives. We'll talk about the positives. So many positives to take out of this game. There are negatives as well. It always comes with the territory in the National Football League. But if you're a Jets fan, you won a game you had to win. The Jets walked into MetLife Stadium on Sunday. All eyes were on them. All eyes are on the games that are coming up. All eyes are on the schedule that's coming up. And everybody was anticipating a W, and the Jets got it done. Regardless on what the score was, regardless on what the spread was, regardless on, you know, how, you know, exciting or how pretty it was, the Jets walked into MetLife Stadium and they walked out 1-0. They have Murderous Row coming up with their schedule. Everybody knew it. They won a game they had to win. As early as it is in the year, it was a must-win game on Sunday at home. They got the job done. Before we jump into it, before we talk about it, let's go here on Jet Nation Radio. I want to introduce my co-host as well. Joe, what's going on, my man?
I'm doing good, Brandon. I really enjoyed the game. But I want to say something real quick before we go live into the show and we get all into the Jets talk. I've been seeing a whole bunch of people, and I've talked to a couple of people who are – I know you've seen the whole thing with Ray Rice, obviously, right, Brandon?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, I see a whole bunch of people on Twitter, and I've talked to people who are trying to make excuses for this guy, saying that he provoked her, that she provoked him, that she spit on him, that she slapped him in the face. And let me tell you, any guy who acts like that, he acted like an animal, and I think that he deserves to be treated like an animal. He deserves to be locked away in a cage, as I'm referring to jail. And he's not a man, you know. Let me just tell you this too. If there's nothing that my girlfriend could possibly do to me that would make me ever lay my hands on her like he did. I don't care if she was biting me. I don't care if she was kicking me. I don't care if she was punching me. I would never put my hands on a girl like Ray Rice did. I don't think he should ever be allowed back in the NFL. I'm happy that Roger Goodell kicked him out. He's suspended indefinitely. And I'm happy this guy got cut by the Ravens. He deserves to be in jail.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, I'm with you 100%. There's no possible way that you can justify what was done by Ray Rice. And, you know, even if it's non-Jets related, it's the story that's taken over across the entire country. You know, it's all over the radio, and it's a shame because it's all over our local radio where you want to hear Jets talk, you want to hear, you know, everybody breaking down the win. But it's, you know, the topic is Ray Rice. And, I mean, when I look at this subject, it's so obvious where, you know, everybody's looking at it, and there's Ray Rice. Yes, is he? You know, is it disturbing? Is it disgusting? Absolutely. You know, are there any excuses for what he did? Absolutely not. But I mean, the one thing that really gets me, and the one thing that aggravates me about this whole thing, and then of course we'll dive into some Jets talk here, is, you know, the Ravens, in my opinion, they don't deserve any type of credit for their actions. They don't deserve any type of credit for releasing him. They don't deserve – now they're doing jersey exchanges. You know what? What the Ravens are doing right now, in my opinion, is a PR stunt. If you listen to Chris Mortensen and what Chris Mortensen said last night on Monday Night Countdown, the Ravens and the NFL knew exactly how this was described. What we all saw in a video from TMZ is exactly what was told to the Baltimore Ravens, exactly what was told to Roger Goodell, and exactly what was told to the NFL. Now they're just getting to see an even better visual of it, okay? I mean, we all saw the original video of him dragging his girlfriend unconscious out of the elevator. So it's amazing to me. And now everybody, oh, you know, thanks, Ravens. Congratulations, Ravens. You know, good job, Baltimore. You know what they did? They avoided a PR disaster. They went into their management and said, well, the NFL and Baltimore got together and said, how can we make ourselves come out of this looking unscathed? And they said, well, let's release Ray Rice because of this video, when in reality, we knew all this. We knew this. We knew that he punched his girlfriend in the face. We knew that he's an animal. We knew he's disgusting. We knew about these allegations. We all knew. Chris Mortensen was sitting there saying, I was sitting in a room with these people. They all knew this. But because
exactly,
the video was released, and now we're going to you know, celebrate the actions of Baltimore, you know what they did? They avoided a PR disaster. And now they're trying to look at it as, well, we don't stand for this type of action. And we don't allow this. We don't, you know, we don't stand for this in any way. Well, you knew about it when it first happened, and you let it, you kind of dusted it off because the NFL said, well, we're going to give him two games, and we're going to let it blow over. And you know what? Ray Rice deserves everything that he's getting, and Ray Rice deserves to be cut. Now, do I think Ray Rice should never be allowed to play in the NFL? That's a touchy subject. Let's look at, you know, let's look at other people around the league. Let's look at Dante Starworth, who killed a guy with his car. Let's look at Michael Vick, who was in prison for, you know, conducting a dog fighting ring. He was in jail for 2 years, and he's walking around. We'll get to Michael Vick in, you know, later on in this show. Okay, so. I mean, you cannot look at one incident. I mean, who is to judge? Who is the guy that judges what's worse than, you know, what situation is worse? You know what I mean? I mean, a guy like Aaron Hernandez, of course. Okay, he's never going to be allowed to walk the streets ever again in his life. But, I mean, if you look at what Ray Rice's wife said when she came out and said today, you know, that's some pretty powerful stuff. That's some really powerful stuff, what she said. You know, she's coming out and telling the media and telling the people, you know, shame on you. You know, you're bringing this. And I agree. You know what? To some extent, I agree with her. You know, you're bringing a nightmare back to her life, okay, on national TV. Imagine being her walking around. You know, they have a daughter at home. Imagine their daughter putting the TV on and you watching her father punch her in the face on national television. You know, it's a shame.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I definitely agree with you with the fact that they shouldn't be showing it on air 24/7 talking about it, because that makes her have to live through it many, many times again. But then it's a very tricky situation, because there's a whole bunch of views. There's views of the NFL did the right thing by upping the first suspension to 6 games, and then the second time you're banned for life. There's things against the NFL saying that
that's great, but of
they
course
didn't.
They're doing that, though. Of course they're doing that, because they have to. They have no
exactly,
choice.
And I don't understand how TMZ gets their hands on this video and the NFL doesn't. Why? I don't understand how they did a full investigation.
Opinion, yeah. Again, it's so touchy, because how are you going to look me in the eye and say Ray Rice is never allowed back in the NFL? Ray Rice can never play another down, but you're going to let people who have killed other human beings back in the league? I mean, come
exactly.
on.
Exactly. Just like Ray Lewis. He was convicted of murder. He's going through a trial, and he was still playing in the NFL. But to get off this topic, and because we expressed how we feel about the Ray Rice thing.
Let's go into some football. Let's go into some football.
Yeah. One thing before we start talking about Jets talk, though, Brandon. Yeah. After week one, though, after this, I'll let you take it away. You take it away like you always do. You steal the spotlight here. But. After week one, I know you can't base all your feelings and your opinions off of week one, but so far what I've seen from the teams that the Jets are playing the beginning stretch of the first half of the season, I don't think the teams are all as good as we thought they are. Like, for example, I know the Packers are still an elite team, but their offensive defensive line looked completely shattered. They didn't look too good. We're not sure if Eddie Lacy is even going to play next week. Beluga might be injured for next week. The Bears looked completely mediocre. They lost to the Bills. They didn't look special at all. I know you watched the Chargers game last night. Their offense looked ineffective. They didn't look good at all either. The Pats lost to the Dolphins. Their run defense was absolutely terrible. Even their overall defense was just flat out bad. Brady didn't look sharp. He was what, 29 for 56, which is barely above 50%. Then you have the Chiefs, who Josh Muga, former Jet, was one of their best players on the team that game. He had 8 tackles, other than Aaron Barry, who had 15. But their defense looked completely in shambles. They've lost Mike DeVito, who's a former Jet as well, and Derek Johnson for the entire season. So their defense looks like complete trash, and their offensive line looked like trash as well. And then the last team I've thought about is the Steelers. They didn't look as good as I expect them to be. They came out a close game to the Browns. So after this week, I know you can't base your whole entire season on the week one. But from what I've seen, I'm a little bit more confident going through the season. But that's what I wanted to say. But, Brandon, let's go into some Jets talk now.
Well, you know what? You know what, Joe? Here is how I look at it. I don't care who the Jets play. I don't care who's on the schedule outside if they have the Seattle Seahawks coming up, or I'll even go as far as say even the Denver Broncos. After what I saw from the Jets on Sunday, this team, if they don't beat themselves, which is the biggest question mark and the biggest question mark they have had, the Jets have an offense and the Jets have a defense that, you know, as a team, they're a team, they can go out and I believe they can compete and play a close game with anybody in the National Football League right now outside of the Seahawks and potentially the Broncos. I mean, this is a team right now that I looked at and I'm like, wow, you know, they should have beat the Raiders by, you know, 3 touchdowns. And you know what really, really impressed me the most was Rex Ryan after the game.
What was that?
If you go and you watch Rex Ryan's post game privately to his team, he doesn't come out and say, hey, great win. You know, when Rex Ryan comes out after a win, he's fired up. You know, he's pumped up. But he knows his guys are better than what the score showed and what that game showed on Sunday. He came out and said, men, 11 penalties. We're better than this, okay? 2 turnovers, and we didn't get any on defense. We're better than this. When your coach has a negative vibe, like when Rex Ryan, for example, who probably is the most positive guy in the world, has a negative vibe about, you know, a win, that's when you know that this team has some serious potential. So when they're going into Green Bay on Sunday, am I concerned that they're going to get blown out? Absolutely not. I don't think that this team will get blown out by many people or if anybody this year. I think they're a competitive team. I was very, very surprised, and I was impressed with how the secondary looked. Again, take it for what it's worth. It's against a rookie quarterback. But still, the Jets don't pick who's on the schedule. They didn't pick a rookie quarterback this week. They dealt with their injuries. They came out, and they played a fantastic game. Now, the positives from this game. Geno Smith, 23 of 28, looked fantastic. He was throwing the ball down the field, moving the football. He was effective with his legs. I mean, this is the Geno Smith that we all want to see. A guy who's – Geno Smith did not come out and play not to lose. Geno Smith looked like a quarterback that was going to go out and make plays to win the game. He didn't sit back. He wasn't thinking and dunking. He was looking for guys down the field. He was making big plays. I was impressed with Geno. I was impressed with Chris Ivory in the running game. The Jets finally found something in that running game. I mean, I tell you, 102 yards for Chris Ivory being, you know, the big 70-yard run. But still, you know, the rushing attack, fantastic. Geno Smith, fantastic. Eric Decker looked great. The receiving game, everybody looked in sync. It's a Jets offense that we looked at and said, wow, you know, they look competent. They're moving the ball, and they've had over 400 yards. I mean, when's the last time we sit here saying, you know, the Jets are over 400 yards? So, I mean, from a positive standpoint, and I want to talk about the positives for right now, I thought the Jets played a great game on offense. They shut them down on defense. I think they can compete with almost any team in this league right now.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, but if we're going only for the positives, I guess we'll talk about the negatives later, because there definitely was some negatives. Just to throw one thing out there real quick. If we have 11 penalties for 105 yards, which is almost more than the Raiders had in their entire offense, we're not going to beat the Packers. We're definitely going to need to shape some stuff up. We're not going to be able to get a whole bunch of penalties. Like, Cologne had 3 flags, which I've been saying for a while now, that I think that if Cologne keeps getting these penalties, that they're going to have to look for a replacement in Adushi, because I like Cologne. I think he brings energy. I think he's good. I think he's good for our team, but he gets flagged all the time. So I think he's going to need to cut down on the flags. But for the positives, I tend to agree with you. I think that Geno did have a great game. You know, 82% completion percentage. But we'll get into the negatives later. He did look good. Something that I noticed that wasn't exactly with like the running or the passing, but last year when he was going into the huddle, it seemed like people were looking around. They didn't respect him. He's a rookie quarterback. But I noticed that this game, that every time he went into the huddle, because I watched it again when I went back home after I got back from the game, and every single person in the huddle when he was walking into the huddle was staring at him. They weren't talking. He had complete attention of the team, which is a good sign. He seemed to take a step forward. He was standing tall in the pocket. He was dodging people. He was accurate with his throws. And the one throw he wasn't accurate with was to Jeff Cumberland when he threw it a little high, and I know you remember
that. But that's okay.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
Yeah, and even if it seemed like he couldn't step into the throw because the line was getting pushed back into him, so I don't think he didn't have the form he wanted to because there was a lineman in front of him. So I don't really blame him for that. We'll get into more of the negatives later. The secondary, I know it's against Derek Carr and the Raiders. They looked solid, though. Allen had that one play where he got he didn't turn around. I think they're on like the 20-yard line, and Allen got a ball thrown over his head. He didn't look the other way. The completion was to Streeter. But other than that, I think that Walls and Allen looked pretty good. And even with Walls on that amazing play to James Jones, Allen couldn't have played any better defense. James Jones just made a completely excellent catch. That was once in a lifetime catch that he made right there. So I think our secondary looked pretty solid. I'm liking what I've seen from them. The offensive line looked excellent. Geno had a lot of time to stand up in there, other than the penalties, like I pointed out before. And something that I noticed was that Pryor he was on the line a lot, like blitzing, but he was also in coverage a lot, and it seemed like Landry was in the box a lot more, you know, going blitzing and staying in the box and paying attention to the run more than he did last year, because Allen and Landry were both not that good in coverage. They had to stick both of them back there. But I also liked what I've seen from Calvin Pryor. He made a couple big hits. He had two pass deflections, four tackles, and it seemed like every time he was in on a tackle, it was a hard hit. So I liked what I've seen from him. You obviously like what you have to see from Chris Ivory. You know, he had 10 rushes for 102 yards, and then Chris Johnson had 13 rushes for 68 yards. They had some explosiveness. You got to like what you see from Decker, five receptions, 74 yards. And he would have had 100 yards, but there was in my opinion, was a crap call when you got that push-off call. I don't think he pushed off at all. But other than that, you know, I liked what I've seen. The penalties really hurt us. We'll get into that later, like I said before. But as of right now, I know it's only week one, and I'm going to get people going to make fun of me for this. But right now, we're the number one defense. I know it's against the Raiders, but we did look pretty solid. I like what I've seen in that game, and I was definitely more encouraged than I was discouraged.
All right, we are going to go to Keith. Keith calling in wants to talk about the Jets and the NFL as a whole. Keith, you're on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Jet Nation Radio? Long time no speak. How y'all doing?
All right, fantastic, Keith. What's going on?
A lot of crazy stuff. But besides that, this Jets Raiders game, I was really pleased, even though that Maurice Jones threw that, I don't know what you can call that, an interception or whatever the hell that was, but it was pretty funny. But, overall, I can say that our offense played pretty well, especially that run that Chris Ivory put out there. That was awesome. But one thing I do have to say, I'm kind of not liking how we're using Michael Vick and Geno because, like,
oh, Keith,
Geno,
you hit the nail on the head.
It's just, I mean, like, it didn't work with Sanchez and Tebow. Why are we still doing this wildcat two quarterbacks on the field? I mean, I know we're trying to mimic a college formation, but some stuff work for certain teams and some stuff just don't. You know what I mean? We don't need Vic to be out there and, you know, Geno will throw a lateral to him and he'll throw, you know, we just need one quarterback. But
Keith,
overall, I mean, it was a game, huh?
Keith, this was my biggest negative from this game, okay? Besides the penalties,
mm-hmm.
The penalties are the biggest thing. I don't want to see. You could put this out there on the forums, on Twitter, on Facebook. I'll even rent one of those planes that writes in the sky. I don't
mm-hmm.
want to see Michael Vick on the football field for the New York Jets unless Geno Smith is on the inactive list for the game. It doesn't make any sense. It's stupid. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to name me. I want somebody out there in the landscape of the NFL to name me a team, okay, that takes their starting quarterback off of the field to bring in their backup quarterback, line him up as a wide receiver, and then have – I mean, it's just – it's a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Geno Smith is moving the ball down the field. He's making plays.
Mm-hmm.
He looks fantastic. He's 20. Finished the game 23-28. He's in a rhythm. Why are you taking him out of a rhythm? Why are you putting in gimmicks and garbage? For what reason? It doesn't work. You're not tricking anybody.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders bench is not going, oh, Michael Vick, hold on. Let me tie my cleats. I think they got untied because my boots were shaking so much. It's insane.
And I'll tell you something.
Stupid.
And I'll tell you something else. Against the Green Bay Packers, that's not going to work.
No.
Especially with Clay Matthews running around like that. I mean, that's why, like I said, our defense, as far as our defense now, I like what our defense did as far as our front seven. They were awesome. They did their thing. They came in. They did what they had to do. Notice how that, what's his name, James Jones, I believe, if I said his name right.
Yep.
He, the receiver from the Raiders.
Yeah, that's his name.
See, towards the end, they started picking on our corners. But we held them good up front. So I like that, but we're going to have to come a little bit better and sharper going up against, you know, Rodgers over there in Green Bay.
Absolutely. It's a different – it's a completely different game. It's a different feel.
You also have to remember, Keith, that a lot of I think before that drive, we had some the Packers had like 97 yards previous to that last drive, and I think the last drive was a lot of just damage control. We were playing back. We weren't really trying to press them and force the issue, you know, where they would beat us and not take a lot of time off the clock. But I do agree with you. I do really like what I've seen from the front seven, and especially Copels. We've all seen Copels on the top 10 on Sports Center, completely destroying Maurice Jones-Drew. He was around the ball a lot, and we seemed to be effective. You know, people were talking about the Raiders running backs and how they were going to be a top five rushing attack because of all their 300-pound linemen. But when you hold any team to 25 rushing yards on 15 carries, you know, you have to be encouraged. So I definitely agree with you. I do like what I've seen from the defensive line. What do you think about Calvin Pryor, though, Keith?
As far as Calvin Pryor is concerned, I'm not going to put too much stock into him because he still is a rookie, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to say that, you know, he's ready to go out there and tear everybody up or he needs to improve. I'm kind of in the middle of that. He still needs to improve a little bit more, but he showed great promise. Great promise. So I have nothing negative to say about Calvin Pryor. He's definitely on the right track. I just think he needs to just carry on. Do that again. Let's do this still. Okay, the Raiders, that's one thing, but let's see what he can do against the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I have to agree with you. He was around the ball a lot. It seemed like he was getting comfortable in his role. But Keith, I have another question for you. If D. Milner is healthy for next week, which we're not too sure. A lot of information hasn't come out about it yet. But alongside D. Milner, would you rather have Walls or Allen starting? Because I know we all think that Allen is probably better suited for it. But would you rather take the chance with Darren Walls starting alongside Milner than having the three safeties in the game with Landry, Pryor, and Allen? Or would you rather have Allen alongside D. Milner and just have Landry and Pryor in the game?
I would rather have Wells in there, just like you said. Yeah, I'd rather have him in there and let Allen go back to his original spot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, what about you, Brent?
Like I said,
I like the way Antonio Allen looked at cornerback. I don't think Darren Walls is – I think the Jets – if the Jets can go out right now, you know, if Antonio Allen can make it, you know, make that transition to be an effective cornerback, I would leave him in a position. You know, I think that a cover corner is much more valuable in a Rex Ryan defense, you know, than his other position. So, I mean, I definitely – you know, I think that Antonio Allen – looked good on Sunday. Well, again, we'll take it for what it is. You know, it was a week one game at home against the Raiders with a rookie quarterback. But again, you don't make the schedule. Mm-hmm. The Jets did a good job of taking advantage of a must-win game. And, Keith, it's always good to hear from you, my man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I have to also, before I leave, I have to chime in the NFL because, I mean, we're just getting started, and there's so much craziness going on. And I don't want to bring up, you know, Ray Rice and all that. I mean, that's a dead horse that's got whooped all yesterday long. It's crazy how the league, we're just getting started. The NFL, we waited all this time for the NFL to come in, and now instead of it coming in and being something that's real interesting, it's more like TMZ and more like political stuff. I mean, whatever happened to the game just being fun and interesting besides all this political stuff and
2014,
men and women are going at each other and it's
what it is.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. Hopefully we can get it all together, and I don't know. but all right, Jet Nation Radio, man. Y'all do an awesome job, like always. And, you know, let's go Jets. Hopefully we can do it against the Packers out there. It's going to be harsh. It's going to be a very tough and hostile environment we're stepping into up there. And plus they're going to be mad because they lost the Seahawks like they did. So
yes, sir.
We got a big challenge in front of us.
All right, Keith. Always a pleasure. Thanks for the call, man.
Yes, sir. And let's go Jets.
That's right. Now we're going to go over to Glenn, who wants to talk about Michael Vick. Glenn, you're on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Fantastic.
What's up, Glenn?
Not a whole lot. Just glad, obviously, we all enjoyed the game this weekend. But wanted to touch on the Michael Vick thing, because there was a kind of collective groan from the crowd when we saw him trot on the field and line up a wide receiver. Everyone, you know, all the complaints I've heard tend to be about it's gimmicky and we're moving the ball and why are we, you know, stalling the offense and stunting Geno a little bit. But the first thing I thought to myself when I saw him come out there is, you know, with the firestorm Rex went through last year with Sanchez, you're carrying two quarterbacks and you're putting them both on the field at the same time. I mean, I know it's a long shot, but if Vic gets drilled and Geno rolls an ankle while they're both on the field, you have two quarterbacks and you're putting them both on the field. Those guys get hurt. I mean, I know it's a long shot, but that was my first thought is, and I was in favor of carrying two quarterbacks. I heard a lot of people say it and I agreed. Put Sims on the practice squad, carry two quarterbacks, keep an extra receiver or a corner. But if those guys get hurt while they're in the game at the same time, who's going to play quarterback for Rex? I mean, that, and especially that early in the game, it just, that was the first thought I had, is why are they both on the field right now? You know, if you want to pull one and do some wildcat, and or, you know, or pull Geno and bring Vic in, I'm not a big fan of that either. But just only have one of those guys on the field at the same time. That's insane to run two guys out there. They get hurt in the first quarter. What do you do from there?
Yeah,
I go ahead, Brandon.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Joe.
Oh, yeah, well, I didn't get to touch on it before when Brandon and Keith were talking about it, sorry. I do agree with you guys. I think it did kill the momentum of the drive. We were pounding it down their throat. Ivory was running very, very well that drive, and I do agree with you, Glenn. What happens, even though it would be a freak occurrence, if both of them did get injured during one of those plays, I don't like to see the wildcat. I wouldn't like to see it for the rest of the season, especially when Geno looks like he's coming into our own. Our running game is excellent so far, because people do underrate the Raiders' defense. Their defense is actually, I know it's not great, but it is a solid defense. It's definitely middle of the pack. So I take away some good things from that, but I don't like to see Vic in the game either. It killed the momentum, and even when he did get in, he missed the pass to Decker. Decker was wide open. I know it hit him in the fingertips, but it was a bad throw. And I think it killed the momentum of the drive.
And what
do
you guys,
Glenn,
think about my second question? Because I couldn't have been happier with Calvin Pryor. I mean, I felt like watching that guy, it felt like he was moving at a different speed than everyone else on the field. And, you know, you try not to get too excited early on about a rookie because, you know, they have such a long road to go before they kind of establish themselves. But it's not that often, at least to me, that a guy jumps off the screen like that, where you say, wow, this guy is covering, you know, three, four times the ground. That whether it's his anticipation or his reactions or a combination of both, but there were a few plays where it seemed like he was the only guy in the field that knew where the ball was going, or he was the first guy to know where the ball was going, and he came flying from out of nowhere, and and he'd make a big hit. So really excited about the way he played. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about Calvin Pryor. I think everybody knew that he was going to hit the ground running. I mean, after the anticipation, I think the coaching staff really has a lot of faith in him to be, you know, that center fielder of the secondary. I think he did a great job. Again, I think that the Jets, you know, they needed a team that was not going to, you know, to test the secondary. It really didn't get tested too much. But, I mean,
right.
to go back to your first question, Glenn, I'm sorry to do that, but, you know, your first question is with Michael Vick and, you know, Geno Smith and talking about getting hurt. My first impression is, first off, is definitely not what if they both get injured. That's my first impression is it goes back to the same story, the same problems, the same thing we sit here. If you want to be a contender in this league, if you want to play with the big teams, you want to walk into Lambeau Field, okay, stop with the nonsense. That's exactly what that is, okay? Michael Vick is the backup quarterback of this team. If Geno Smith rolls an ankle and Geno Smith can't play, then guess what? I'll sit there and I'll cheer Michael Vick, and I'll root on Michael Vick as a Jets fan because he's the next man up, just like if Eric Decker goes down or if Calvin Pryor goes down, the depth chart's there, the next man's up on the depth chart. Stop. I want somebody to find me a team in the NFL that does this. It's
well, you
and,
know,
and it led to, and hold on a second, and it led to a turnover. It led to stunning a drive in the red zone. Geno comes back in. He has to make a play. He has to, you know, and even the shuffle pass. The second down, you're going to come in there and you're going to say, Michael, you know, let's run a trickery play with Michael Vick on second down. And then let's, you know, put Geno Smith in a third and goal position where another field goal could happen, and you put him in a position where he has to make a play. That shuffle pass should have been the second down play. They should have ran the ball up the middle with Chris Ivory on second down, got to the one-yard line or so, ran it in again. Stop with the stupidness that nobody – I don't think there's any Jet fan out there that was sitting there going, wow, what a great idea. Let's bring in our backup quarterback and run him in on a reverse – and on a Jet pass from wide receiver on a jump ball to Eric Decker. What an – you know what? Amazing, amazing job. It's stupid. It's stupid. It's a backup quarterback. He should be on the field when your starter gets hurt. Other than that, I don't want to see Michael Vick on the field anymore. It stunned in two drives, and thank God for that shuffle pass, and the Jets got lucky on that play because Justin Tuck almost had it in his hand and almost took the ball away, and it almost was another turnover. It's stupid. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, speaking of that play, the thing I did like about that was Geno's – I mean, the fact that Geno didn't allow Tuck's presence to mess up the play, because I heard they were interviewing Chris Johnson post game, and he said that because he got in there so quickly, that's the quickest Geno has gotten rid of the ball. So Geno recognized the pressure and he got rid of it, and it's a heads up play by both guys, because Chris Johnson said they ran that play several times up in Cortland, but that was the quickest they ran it, and that was because of Tuck.
A little bit of luck too.
I think you know, I'm going to give credit, too, for, you know, he's a veteran guy who was heads up and made the play. So, you know, bottom line is they executed it, and Geno didn't, you know, that's a play where I worry about a fumble. If a guy busts through and the quarterback is supposed to get rid of the ball that quickly.
That's why you're running on a third down. That's why your backup quarterback should be holding the clipboard with a headset on, talking to the offense coordinator, sitting there wondering what the play is next so he can draw it up. Just like in Little League, when the coach is sitting there with his book writing in the walks and the singles and the doubles, that's what Michael Vick should be doing on the sideline. When he's ready to play is when Geno Smith is hurt. Until then, I don't want to see it. Does any Jet fan out there want to see this crap? Or do you want to see your quarterback continue to evolve, continue to look great, continue to move the football, and continue to get better? I mean, we saw a performance by Geno Smith that we should all be proud of. And if we didn't, as Jet fans, we should be excited for the offense we see. But again, stop taking your quarterback out of rhythm. The other teams, find a team that takes their starting quarterback out to put a backup quarterback in for a gimmick play. There isn't any out there.
A couple years ago, I think Tom Coughlin said it best, and it may have been the Tebow season, I forget, but they asked Coughlin, if you remember, in one of his press conferences, if the Giants would consider running any Wildcat, and he just said point blank, our guy's good. We don't have a reason to take him off the field. He's our quarterback.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, like you said, teams don't do that. It's a gimmicky thing you do if you don't have a good quarterback and you have to – but and even at this point, it's not an unexpected thing anymore. You know, that's something if you pull it out in Week 15 and nobody's seen it all year, maybe you got a shot. But
no, I don't want to see it in Week 15. I don't want to see it in Week 16.
No, I get that. I'm not saying I want to see it. I'm saying that the one thing that it could offer as an element of surprise, the Jets have removed that because they do it a couple times a week. So it's not like they're not catching anybody off guard with it.
That was my biggest negative. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, to get back to the Justin Tuck thing, I still think he's looking for that football as we talk right now. It was right in his hands. I think that was a risky play to run as well. I do think that it killed the momentum of the drive. But to get to back to your point about Calvin Pryor, I do really like what I've seen from him too. I know he didn't blow up the stat board. He only had four tackles and two pass deflections, but every time somebody had the ball, it looked like he was around it. He was flying to the ball, and I'm not comparing him to Troy Polamalu by any means, but it definitely looked like he definitely has some potential. And I think Jets. By the way, the stadium was extremely loud. I know Brandon was there. I believe you were there too, right, Glenn?
I was, yeah.
Yeah. I remember at the end of the game they were showing the decibels of how loud it was. It was at 105 one point. I think if Calvin Pryor would have picked that off because it was right in his hands, he was just
looking
to score. If he picked that off, the walls would have been blown off the place. I think that was a little bit of him being a little bit nervous as a rookie, and him looking for the end zone. I think he'll correct that. But I definitely agree with you that Calvin Pryor did stand out to me, and I do think that he will be a pretty solid safety, if not a – I'm not saying he's going to be a great safety, but he definitely has potential to be one. I'm excited to see what he can do, and I definitely like what I saw from him in the Raiders game.
All right, well, thanks a lot, guys. Have a great night.
Hey, thanks, Glenn. It was a pleasure to meet you on Sunday as well, and keep going with everything you got going. Check out Glenn's stuff. He's got interviews going on. He's got articles, everything on JetNation.com, and keep up the good work, Glenn, and it was a pleasure to meet you.
Same here, man. Take care.
All right, that was Glenn. And now we're going to move over to Zach, who wants to talk about the running game. Go ahead, Zach.
Yes. Hey, guys. I wanted to talk about the running game from this past week with Ivory and CJ2K getting the carries. I just wanted to say, do you guys know if CJ2K and Ivory are going to be the two premier backs with the Jets? Or are they just going to stick with those two guys, or is Bilal Powell still going to be with them?
I think it's definitely going to depend on the game plan and what team we're playing, on who's tired and who's working. I know Bilal Powell only had one rush for I think it was 4 yards, but I think it's going to depend on the game plan. There's definitely going to be some games where you see Ivory with only 5 rushes and Bilal Powell maybe with more, even though I doubt that's going to happen a lot. But Bilal Powell is definitely going to get more rushing yards than rush attempts than he got last game. He wasn't in the game a lot, but I think it will primarily be Ivory and Chris Johnson. Because, it was like lightning and thunder. In the beginning of the game, it was a lot of Chris Johnson. I feel like we were on the field for a lot more than the Raiders were, time-wise. And Ivory, at the end, was pounding the ball, and we all seen what happened when he, on the first play of the drive, at about the 29-yard line, he busted it through for a 71-yard touchdown. So I think they're gonna stick with those two, mostly. But Bilal Powell is definitely going to be in there for some third downs and to be a receiving back out of the backfield as well.
Right. Also, with the, do you think there is some type of connection with Eric Decker and Geno Smith? Can they potentially have somewhat of a breakout year for Geno? And how far do you see this team going this season?
I looked at it from a no expectations point of view for Geno and Decker right now. You have a new wide receiver in a new scheme with a new quarterback, and I was really impressed with Eric Decker on Sunday. I mean, take away that penalty, he was probably going to be over 100 yards receiving. He finished the day with 5 catches, 74 yards, averaging 4.18 yards a catch. I mean, that's fantastic. The Jets will take that every single day of the week and twice on Sunday. I mean, it's amazing. To think about, the connection that they had right off the bat. For the Jets right now, I really think that they're a playoff team. I think that they have the ability to be right in the middle of the pack, fighting for a wild card spot. Who knows how, New England starting the season 0-1 is huge. A lot of people don't realize that, but, every single loss that they have, their schedule gets tougher as the year goes on. It's, the easier part of their schedule is in the beginning of the year. So, I mean, you never know. I think the Jets, like I said from the beginning of the show, I think that from what I saw from the Jets, I think that they're good enough to compete with any team in the NFL and be in football games. And if you can be in football games and you have a good defense and a quarterback that can lead your team and that can make plays, I think that the Jets have a good shot to do some damage and surprise some people this year. Do I think that they're a Super Bowl team? No, I don't. But I think that they can compete with the top, with the middle of the pack, to close to top teams in this league. I don't think they're going out and having a competitive game with Seattle, or I don't think they're going to go out and have a good game against the Denver Broncos in Denver. But other than that, I look at the other teams in this league. I don't see anybody walking into MetLife Stadium and blowing the doors off the Jets. Their defense is competitive, and now you're seeing an offense that can move the football and put some points up. So it should be interesting.
Yeah, Brandon, I agree with you. After the Patriots lost and the Jets won, when I was driving back listening to the postgame on 98.7, I was riding on my high horse. I was just riding away with a smile the entire way home. But I definitely agree with you. Geno looks like he could have a breakout year, and I don't think we're going to get blown out anytime this year. We could maybe a game, maybe a fluke game, but as a Jets fan, I think that I would sign up for 82. Completion percentage from Geno any time in the week. That was the highest percentage in the NFL. He had a few mistakes. The first fumble, I do believe that his knee was down, but nevertheless, I do think that he should have slid. I get it. If you're going for the touchdown, you're excited, it's your first game, but you're a franchise quarterback. There's 250-pound linebackers chasing you. Just slide and let Chris Ivory or Chris Johnson pound it in. But yep. I definitely do like what I've seen from Geno. The other big mistake, it wasn't the fumble or the turnover, but all the Jets fans remember when we were somewhere around the 25-yard line, and Geno took a 20-yard sack to get out of field goal range, which was a big mistake to me. I think that he should have just took the sack instead of trying to dodge people and run backwards or even Marty Morningweg. I think it was a mistake by Marty Morningweg at that point in the game. It was 7 to 13. Why not just run the ball with Chris Ivory? See, I believe it was a 3rd and 3, so why not just see if you can pound it with Ivory or Powell or Chris Johnson, see if you can get the first down, and if not, you kick the damn field goal and you make it a 2-score game. Why are you going to put us in a shotgun passing situation where you know Geno is a mobile quarterback and he was dodging people all game, so you know that he might try to dodge it either way, and exactly what happened. He took a huge loss, took us out of field goal range, and then they were still in the game at that point. So, but other than the one fumble, oh yeah, and the other fumble, it was weird to me because the entire game, Geno was holding onto the ball with two hands, but then the one time when there's two Raiders chasing him down the field or chasing him in the pocket, he only holds the ball with one hand. So I think that was a mistake. He should always hold the ball with two hands, especially when there's 300-pound linemen trying to swat the ball away from you. But honestly, other than those couple of mistakes, he played excellent. If he can limit the turnovers, if we can maintain long drives, maintain, you know, 5-6 minute drives, we can compete with just about any team. I'm not saying we're going to win every game, but we can definitely compete. If we with the added weapons of Decker and with the defense improving, getting Amaro, getting Chris Johnson, we could definitely compete. If we can compete last year with having no weapons and not a great secondary with the Saints, why not compete with the Packers? You know, I agree with you, Brandon.
Zach, go ahead. Take it away. Anything else?
One last thing before I go. With the Jets defense, I know how their defense would keep them in games, and you know, with that front seven, you know, it's just a domination all around. I'm not really concerned about their cornerbacks as I was, you know, at the beginning of the year. I mean, I know they have to rely on Walls and who is that, Allen, but you know, I still think with some of these guys that they brought in, was Leon McFadden and all the other guy they brought in. I still think, you know, I can get if they got any defense that can keep them in games, and a team like Green Bay that's got a quarterback like Rodgers that can throw the ball down the field with receivers like Nelson Cobb, you know, people are not going to give them a chance next week. But you know, honestly, I think the Jets, if not, can definitely win the game. You know, if not by a field goal or a touchdown. I'm not taking anything away from the Packers. They're a phenomenal team, and what happened to them last week against the Seahawks was just, you know, it was crazy. But you know, would you give them a fair shot at winning in Lambeau Field at Green Bay for next week?
Yeah, I mean, I think they have a shot. I definitely think they have a shot, Zach. So I think that, you know, right now, the Jets are, you know, they have a lot of momentum. They know what they have to clean up. I do think they have a shot, and that's going to lead us into our next segment. We're going to go right into the picks, and I thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
All right, that was Zach calling in about the New York Jets running game and also talking about Geno Smith and the offense. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to hear from you, Jet Nation. I want to hear your picks. I want to hear your score predictions for this week's game. It's time to pick Sunday, Jets at Packers. What do you think the score is going to be, and who do you think wins? We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Jet Nation Radio.
Since the average attention span is now about 27 seconds thanks to ADD, ADHD, and bad TV, if you're a business of any kind, how do you reach your future clients? You need a marketing partner ready to implement those online strategies and properly target the right audience with the right information using the right media. You need the Strategic Peacock. From mobile to multimedia, the Strategic Peacock will enhance your online presence and help create potential growth. When you're ready to understand how the modern mind works, go to StrategicPeacock.com and develop the right web strategy for you. StrategicPeacock.com.
New music.
Are you an independent artist? Do you struggle with getting music out there without burning a hole in your pocket? The Indie Outbreak is the perfect radio show for you. Broadcasted around the world, heard by thousands of incredible fans, always on demand. You can be too. Interested in being part of the outbreak? Go to IndieOutbreak.com and click the Submit tab for details. Be part of the epidemic sweeping over the world. Indie Outbreak. IndieOutbreak.com.
Amazing.
What seems to be the problem?
I don't know, doctor. I just feel sick.
What have you been listening to recently?
I don't really know. Just whatever's on, I guess.
Seems to me like you have a serious case of bad music.
Am I gonna die? Is it contagious? Is it dangerous?
It can be dangerous. It can cause headaches, earaches, vomiting, nausea, and in extreme cases, even death.
Oh no! What should I do?
I'm going to prescribe to you 60 milligrams of Indie Outbreak. It'll help prevent bad music disease and will make your life better and worth living.
Thanks, Doc!
Joe Blewett, Brandon Dowling.
And the home of the Jets!
All right, and you are listening to Jet Nation Radio. And let's dive right into it. Last week, we have to give credit where credit is due. Mr. Joe Blewett went 5-0 with his picks as I sat at a above 500, to say the least. 3-2 with the picks of the week. So let's jump right into it, Joe. As we'll save the Jets game for last. Will be our new way of doing things here. This is the Jet Nation Radio picks of the week. Again, you can pick against us in the forums on JetNation.com. And I want to start it off: Pittsburgh at Baltimore. Joe, this game is going to be a big spectacle because of everything that's going on with Ray Rice. How will the Ravens respond? How will the team look post-Ray Rice being released? How's their coach going to get them ready to play? Pittsburgh's coming into a game in which they squeaked away with a win last week. They're going into Baltimore, a team that could have came back and won the game. Joe Flacco threw the ball a ridiculous 62 times. At home, I think the Ravens are going to play with a big chip on their shoulder because nobody's going to be talking about the Ravens. They're going to be talking about Ray Rice. I'm going to take the Ravens at home against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the spread on this game, Baltimore is favored by 2.5. Go ahead.
Okay, before I get into my pick, Brandon, thank you for acknowledging that I went 5-0. I promise that we will get together somewhere in North Jersey, and I'll teach you and give lessons on how to pick games. Just bring your notebook. Make sure you bring your notebook. I'm joking, but for this game, I'm gonna agree with you. I think that Baltimore is gonna come away with the win at home. I think it's gonna be a close game. It's always a close game. with Pittsburgh and Baltimore, but I think that Baltimore will come out hungry. They're tired of hearing about the whole Ray Rice thing, and they're going to come out and prove themselves. And I think that Joe Flacco is gonna light it up against Pittsburgh. They didn't look too, their defense didn't look too great against the inadequate Browns. So,
well, let's move to our next game. We're going to talk about some AFC East rivals, the New York Jets. That's Miami going into Buffalo. The Bills have a new owner this week. The Sabres owner has completed the purchase of the Buffalo Bills. They went on the road with a big-time overtime win against the Chicago Bears. So, how do we look at it this week? Miami with a big win over New England at home. Two teams that were underdogs last week, both came away with big-time wins. They meet for the first time this year. Miami going into Buffalo. I think the Bills, with their new owner, are going to come out with a big-time win at home. Miami's actually the favorite here. It's pushing one. It, you know, could be a pick'em. Who knows what it could be by the end of the week. But right now, I am going to go with the Buffalo Bills at home, taking their home opener and continuing to stay hot.
Yep, I want to backpack off you there, Brandon. I agree. I think the Bills are going to win too, and I think most of that is because.
Did you look at my sheet before the show?
Yeah, yes, I did. I snuck into your house and I grabbed it. But no, I think I'm picking the Bills here because I hate the Bills less than I hate the Dolphins. But to be honest though, I think the Bills are gonna shut down. No, Sean, the Patriots couldn't do it last week. I really don't think that the Dolphins are all that good or their running game is that good. Ryan Tannehill definitely made some questionable throws and he didn't look great in his home in the opener either. So I think the Bills are gonna come out. They're gonna run the ball with Fred Jackson and T.J. Spiller, and they're gonna shut down the run. They're gonna control the clock, and they will end up winning the game.
Let's move to our next game. It's the Sunday Nighter. Chicago goes into San Fran. The first time they open up the new stadium out there in San Francisco. This is my upset of the week. I think Chicago is going to come in and they're going to play angry. San Francisco did look fantastic against the Cowboys last week in what I think was their actual home opener since the Red Invasion over there at Dallas, at Jerry's World, we'll call it. So I'm actually going to go with the Bears in an upset here. I think Chicago has a lot to prove. They were sleeping last week. They got caught sleeping. They're 7-point underdogs on the road on Sunday Night Football. I think they're going to have a great game. They're going to control Colin Kaepernick, and the Bears are going to walk out with a win, and they're going to feel good about themselves, hopefully feel good about themselves for a week because they walk into MetLife the following week.
Yeah, I'm going to have to disagree with you on that one. I think the 49ers are going to win at their what seems to be, like you said, their second home game. Every time the 49ers scored, it was louder than when the Cowboys scored. So the 49ers fans are going to come out to the new stadium. They're going to blow it up. Their defense is definitely going to need a lot of help because there's no doubt about it. It's going to be loud there. The Bears look barely mediocre in their first game, so I think the 49ers are going to come out and they're going to pound them. Their defense looked a little bit better than I thought it was going to be talking about the 49ers because their secondary is kind of weak, but they looked pretty good. I think they're going to pound it with Frank Gore. I think they're going to take it from the Bears at home in their first home game this year.
Let's move to the Monday night action. The first non-double Monday night game of the year. Indianapolis hosts Philly. Indianapolis 3-point favorites at home. You have to be impressed with how Indianapolis looked in the second half against the Denver Broncos. Was Denver sleeping in the second half of that game is the big question. Was Philly sleeping in the first half against the Jaguars? I'm going to go with the upset here. I think Philly's going to go on the road. I think this team in that dome-type atmosphere on that turf, they're going to be playing fast. I'm going with the Eagles in an upset over the Colts on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with the Colts on this one. I think that Andrew Luck is too good of a quarterback to lose two in a row. He wasn't too good in the beginning of the game against the Broncos, but he was really showing why he was the number one pick a couple years ago in the second half of that game. The Eagles don't look too good. They didn't look too good in the first game. I don't think Nick Foles is going to have 27 touchdowns and two picks again. I think the Colts step it up. I think Andrew Luck gets the offense rolling with T.Y. Hilton and hopefully maybe Trent Richardson actually runs for over 3 yards a carry because he's been completely awful since he's gone to the Colts. But I think they step it up. I think T.Y. Hilton blows it up, and I think the Colts take it at home.
All right, let's move towards it now. We got Matthew, who's been holding on the line, who wants to give us his picks. Again, you can pick against us on the forums at JetNation.com. Those were Jet Nation Radio picks of the week. Matthew, you're on Jet Nation Radio. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to give maybe some insight and a prediction for the Jets game in Lambeau.
Go for it.
I don't think people give the Jets enough of a shot here. If they can eliminate some mistakes that maybe they had in the Oakland game, like where Geno, you know, takes a 19-yard sack, can't kick a field goal, a couple fumbles, you know, a pick, whatever it is, they can run the ball very effectively against that team, run it down their throat, and they'll be fine. They put some pressure on Rodgers. I don't see Lacy, if he plays, running the ball too well. I mean, I think the Jets can squeeze one out there, and they actually give them, you know, if it were up to me, I'm giving them W there.
Yeah, I mean, Matthew, I think they have a great shot in this game. I think the Jets coming in here, you know, the way they run the ball against the weak, you know, the Packers don't have a true nose tackle up the middle who's going to be able to, you know, manhandle Mangold and stop the run. So if the Jets are going to be pounding the middle and, you know, running the football right up the gut against them, they have a shot. It's just a matter of, you know, you're facing Aaron Rodgers. We talked to, you know, Joe was saying Andrew Luck is too good of a quarterback to come out and lose two in a row to start the year.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers, in my opinion, is the best quarterback in the National Football League. So
okay.
I think from the Jets' point of view this week, I'll get to my pick, you know, in about a minute here or so. I think the Jets have a great shot. I think this game can really go up in the air, and the Jets have the potential to steal one, but it's a matter of, you know, the Jets, this is a game, in my opinion, I call it a house money game. Meaning if the Jets lose this game, if the Jets lose a close, good game against the Packers, the Jet fan, myself, is not going to feel discouraged come Monday morning. This is not a game the Jets are supposed to win. The Jets versus the Raiders at home is a game the Jets are supposed to win. The Jets are 8.5-point underdogs going into Lambeau Field against an 0-1 Packers team led by Aaron Rodgers. If the Jets win this game, then you're going to sit here and go, wow, this team is pretty good. If they lose this game, you're going to sit here and go, you know, my expectations were that they were going to keep it close, and I didn't, you know, you don't really feel, you're not going to walk into this game going, if they lose this game, man, they're not a good team. It's not the way it works.
Sure.
This is a house money game. It's a game the Jets aren't supposed to win. They're pushing almost 2-score dogs on the road. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Okay.
But Matthew, I appreciate the prediction, and I hope you're onto something with the W. That's for sure.
All right, thanks, Blake.
All right, thanks for the call. So let's dive right into it, Joe. I'll let you go first here. Jets Packers Week 2. Who do you have and why?
It hurts me to pick against the Jets. I've never had to really do this on a radio show or at all, really. But I'm gonna give. I'm going to say the Packers come out in Lambeau. I don't think there's any. I don't think they're going to lose two in a row, especially coming back to Lambeau. Those fans are crazy out there. But I think that the Jets have a good shot. My final score is 24-20 Packers. But I think if the Jets can capitalize on the end zone. I mean in the red zone, we were only 1-for-4 against the Raiders. If we can capitalize in the red zone, if the Jets could force some turnovers, you know, like the Pryor, like the Kyle Wilson. If we can have some turnovers against the Packers, if we can have a plus one, a plus two, or even hopefully like a plus three turnover differential, I think that we can win. If we cut the penalties, if we don't have 11 penalties for 105 yards, if we only have 3 or 4, I think we have a chance. You know, I think that we definitely have a chance because the main reason being that it seems like the Jets are strong up front. With the offensive and defensive line, it seems like the Packers are weak there. So I think that if the Jets run the ball well, if they control Eddie Lacy, if the Jets have long drives, like I said before, if they have 7-6-minute drives, and we can keep Aaron Rodgers off the field for a good amount of the game, that we have a chance. And another key on defense is, other than controlling the run, is we're gonna have to limit him. You're not gonna contain Aaron Rodgers. I don't care. Unless for the Seahawks. The Seahawks did a pretty good job last week. You're not gonna contain them though. But if we can limit Aaron Rodgers to, you know, maybe like 250 yards, not one of those 300, 400 yards games that he seems to always have, I think the Jets are definitely gonna have a chance. And my last key to a victory for us would be no turnovers. We can't have Geno trying to run into the end zone, fumbling the ball, or trying to evade Clay Matthews
and only hold on to the ball with one hand or throw a pick. I didn't get to it before, but that pick by Charles Woodson was absolutely an amazing play. I think that Geno just trusted his arm a little bit too much and tried to fire it in there. But as I was saying before, if we can just control the game a little bit and we can pound them on the ground, I think we definitely have a shot. But in the end, I'm going to give the victory to the Packers 24-20. What is your prediction, Brandon?
Well, I'm looking at it from this point of view, like when I spoke to Matthew who called before. I think this is a house money type game for the Jets. It's a game they don't have to win. It's a game they're not expected to win. If they pull out a victory here, everybody's going to be surprised and everybody's going to feel real good about themselves. I think you're looking at it from a point of view. Aaron Rodgers is too good of a quarterback to come out and lose the home opener after getting dismantled. You know, I would even say that, getting dismantled by the Seahawks in week one and looking completely out of sync and looking out of whack. I think the Jets have a great chance to win this game. I think that, like I said before, the defense and the running game of the Jets will keep them in games with these teams and keep them in games with these quarterbacks, and the way Geno Smith played is going to keep them in games with these quarterbacks. So I look at it from that point of view. I think when it comes down to it, at home, I think the Packers have the edge. 4:30 game, they're going to be pumped up. The Jets are coming off of win, regardless of how you look at it. If they're looking at it from a negative point of view, they're still coming off of a W. I think the Packers are going to take this game 24-17, but I think there's going to be a lot of positives that come at it from the Jets, and they're going to get ready for their Monday night opener. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show. Again, check us out at JetNation.com. Check out the forums. The football talk does not stop on Jet Nation Radio. You can talk with Jet Nation fans, with Jet fans, with NFL fans, JetNation.com. Check out the forums. You can also, if you're looking for tickets for a game, everything's being, you can check out what fans are selling tickets for their games in the forums as well. I also want to thank out all the new members of the JetNation.com forums that have come from other websites in the past week. Your support and your, continued from JetNation.com is just fantastic. And we thank you for joining our website, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning in to Jet Nation Radio. And remember, you can hear us live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock Eastern Time right here on Jet Nation Radio.